So I'm told that I'm supposed to keep like 6 feet away from people, which isn't so bad because my restraining order says I have to keep 600 yards away.
Listen up. This guy's got something to say to you and the horse you rode in on. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. How are you? I'm Ron Van Dam. Look, here I am. No, I'm over here. No, that's not me. Over here. Yeah, there you go. When I was a viable businessman, I used to go to these business conventions, and you had to wear a little sign on your chest that said, "Hello, my name is," and my name is Ron. So on the lapel of my jacket was this sticky thing that said, "Hello, my name is Ron." I felt like I was going to grade school. I was like in second grade.
Now, kids, introduce yourself to the other kids.
You know, and that was so the teacher knew your name, because she couldn't remember everything, and it was a female teacher anyway. But then in business, man, I was an adult, and I had to wear a name tag. And the women, oddly enough, wore name tags too, but their name tags, they didn't have lapels, they had dresses on, business dresses. So their name tag was somewhere around their boob area, which was wrong. It was wrong, because in order to see their name, I'd have to stare at her boobs, and that presented a whole new set of problems. But that's not why you came here. Welcome to the show. Relax, like you got something else to do. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'll take it from here. You just shut up for a while. I'll take it from here. I'm telling you something. This whole distancing thing, this social distancing, which has been my mantra since I was born, the pressure is off of me. Now, if I want to get out of a situation and I'm talking to somebody and I want to back off, I don't have to pass gas anymore. That's what I had to do. It's the only way I can get out of a conversation. Yeah, believe me, if you don't want someone standing so close to you, pass some gas, which, by the way, I'll raise my hand. I have that innate ability to do it at my bidding. As soon as you do it, well, there's like a 10-second delay thing before it permeates the very air which you breathe. Believe me, that other person will back off. You will see them doing the Michael Jackson backwards moonwalk before your very eyes, even if they're not able to do it otherwise. They will back off of you like there's no tomorrow. I don't know what that expression means, but I just used it anyway. But I don't have to do that anymore. I've been relieved of that duty temporarily. Oh, there'll be the day when we're all beyond this and I'm going to have to start passing gas in large crowds again in order to give myself a little bit of room. It works all the time. And in any situation, if you're online for something and pass a little gas, you'll find that suddenly that line gets rather short all of a sudden. But those are people with a sense of smell. Otherwise, you're still in trouble. I'm just trying to help. That's I'm just trying to help. Oh, God. Yeah. This expression, we're all in the same boat. And literally, that's what they said on these cruise lines. You know, we're being quarantined on this boat for 3 weeks. Well, we're all in the same boat. Is that where that came from? Is that where that expression came from? Or did it come from Noah and the Ark? Remember him? Noah was asked by somebody to build an ark. That somebody was apparently a very influential entity. And said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I don't know if Noah was high at the time. I know Moses was high. Moses, man, he was like walking through the desert, comes upon a bush, and there aren't a lot of them in the desert. The sucker's burning and offers Moses 10 commandments. I mean, it's like, what an inopportune time to do something like that. Moses had to be high on something. I believe in those days, in biblical days, they were so oppressed and so just freaked out that a lot of them got high. I think you could just smoke any plant and get high back then. And I think that explains a lot of this. But anyway, so Noah starts building this ark. And it's one thing for a deity to ask a human being to build an ark. I mean, that's imposing enough. But then to give the command to fill it with every single animal, but two of them, not just one, two of them, I guess so they can mate. What kind of house of prostitution was that ark? So Noah not only had to build the ark, but then had to do it by himself. He had no help. He had to go out and gather two of every animal, which is literally impossible. But he did, and what happened after that? I have no idea. I don't know the upshot of the whole deal. I have no idea. But Noah was the first person to use the expression, it's not my first rodeo. No. He was the first person to use the expression, hey, we're all in the same boat. And I guess that's true. When you got a flood coming, you don't have much of a choice. Who started the expression, it's not my first rodeo? Why are, you know, that obviously means this isn't the first time I've been through this, or this isn't the first time I've done this. But why a rodeo? Have you ever been to a rodeo? Our listeners in Texas probably have. But that's about it. Hey, it's not my first bullfight. That's what I would say to Trump. It's not my first rodeo. Did you ever go to a rodeo? I did one. They had a rodeo in New Jersey. Of all places, you would never expect a rodeo to be in New Jersey. I would never expect anything to be in New Jersey, really. But look, there are things. I guess for all the New Jersey people that had never seen a rodeo, this rodeo came to town. And I remember my father taking me to the rodeo. I was a child. I was 13. Are you still a child 13? Yeah, I guess you are. I was a child 13, and my father took myself and my brother to this rodeo. And I don't know why he did that. Maybe he thought we would get trampled by mistake. All right, that's a viable explanation. So we went to this rodeo, and we sat in the stands, and we watched, and it was, you know, it wasn't like a real rodeo. It was like a souped-up version for New Jersey people. The greater New York, New Jersey area. A rodeo? Seriously? Yeah. Yeah. Somebody had to do it. So we're going there, and we see these guys getting on the backs of bulls and riding them like it was a horse. And even at 13 years old, my immediate reaction was, the hell's with these people? What the hell's wrong with them? And inevitably, the bull would throw them off the bull. Bulls don't like people on their back, I've noticed. I don't think it's a natural thing. Bulls don't care for it. They do everything they can to get rid of the person. And then they try to trample the person to death. It's entertaining. So the bull rider would get knocked off the bull, land to the ground. The bull would start trampling the guy. And all of a sudden, from out of the corner of my eye, running toward the bull and the trampling situation was a clown. A clown, ladies and gentlemen. What the hell is a clown doing at a rodeo? Did the clown go to the wrong place, the circus clown? Hey, wait a minute. This isn't the circus. I'm in the wrong arena. Yes, you are, clown. The clown goes running toward the bull and the trampled guy in order to save the guy's life and shoo the bull away. Why in the guise of a clown? Well, look, there's a guy being trampled by a bull. Let's get some comedy in here. The rodeo just didn't make sense to me. Nothing. There are these macho guys walking around, all looking like ex-hockey players, because they can't walk. They're bull-legged. It's like they've got some an anvil dangling between their legs. They can't walk properly. It's because they've been bucked by bulls. And when bulls aren't good enough, they get bucked by horses, by the bucking horses. There's a long story to that. I'm not going to go into it. Rodeos, man. The hell's with that thing? You know that every year they have the running of the bulls in Spain. And I don't remember the name of the town. I didn't look this up. I didn't know I was going to talk about this. Portolamo or Portobello. I have no idea. But all these bulls gather in an arena there. And these macho men stand in front of the arena. And then they let the bulls out into the streets. And these guys, by choice, go running down the street being chased by the bulls. Some of them get trampled, some of them don't. But the bulls chase them down the street, and the more macho the guy, the less room between the bull and the guy running down the street, which is not good social distancing. And I don't know. I root for the bulls mauling the guys running down the street because it's their choice. And if you're going to choose to be chased by a bull at horn's length, you deserve to die. I don't see any other way around it. It's like bullfighting. They get these macho guys dressed rather fancifully with sparkles and sequins and glittery velvet robes and glittery winter hats. They're not dressed all that macho, to be honest with you. They're dressed a little pansy way, you know, like a little fancy boy. But yet they're supposed to be macho. And they release these bulls, and these guys with the fancy costumes, they put out a red cape, and they ask the bull to come over, and then they tease the bull. And then they stick swords in the bull. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. I mean, bullfighting, I believe, is banned in many countries, including the United States, of course. But how can you not root for the bull? How can you not root for this animal that is not chosen to be there, getting stuck with swords and things in its back? What would you do? I knocked the crap out of the bullfighter, and yet the crowd sides with the human being. In this country, if they did it, in the United States, I believe that they would all root for the bull. Most of them. Will they root for the bull now in the form of Trump? There's no more bull than that. And I'm not talking about the macho bull. I'm talking about the full of crap bull. But I don't want to get political. It's not a time for that. No, this is not the time to get political, right? Gotta not do that. No. Anyway, here we are. Through this whole fiasco that is going to be hopefully temporary, we are going to continue our podcast and our appearance on various radio stations across the country. I've said this before. This is very, very funny to me, and I don't understand why, but apparently this show is actually widely listened to in the United Kingdom and Sweden. I think it's Sweden, one of those Finger Lake countries there. Sweden, Norway, I don't know what it is. But we have a listening audience there, and I don't know why, because I guess they speak English. But I find that fascinating. So hello to you, and I don't know why you listen to me. I'll tell you right now, I have no idea why. There is no plausible explanation for someone live in a Scandinavian country to listen to me on this thing. Unless I'm like a test case of some sort, I don't know. But anyway, so we're doing a new show every weekday, just as we always have, and that's it. And I have vowed on this program, I'll say this once and once only, not to talk about this thing. I mean, I will talk about our social awkwardness during this period of time, but in a fanciful manner. I'm going to stay away from it because I think you need a place to go to get away from all that stuff. It's serious, it's important, and it's controllable if you follow directions here. But at the same time, you need a release from it, man. I mean, you need a release. Here I am. So join us, please. Every single weekday with a brand new show, and we will continue to do this and have many contributors trying to keep you laughing and keeping your mind going here in a fun way. Of course, we can be heard on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, YouTube, the Podbean Network, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Podbay, and some radio stations across the country pick us up as well. Thank you very much. I'm out of breath, man. That's a lot. It's a lot for me to do this. It really is. I took a walk in the park yesterday, and the park is getting a little more crowded day by day because people are starting to want to go out, realizing that this could go on for another month. And I say what you have to do is make believe you're pregnant. Yeah, that's what you have to do. Because when you're pregnant, you have many limitations upon yourself. You cannot drink, although you can drink with this thing. But when you're pregnant, you can't drink. You got to be careful with the sex part. Although with this, you don't have to be that careful with the sex part as long as you have a sex partner that has been with you, in your abode. So come on, man. The one reason only I would not be pregnant. Well, actually, there's more than one reason. There's like 50. But if I were a woman, I made that song up. If I were a woman, I would not be pregnant. And it's not for any reason other than the biggest reason: I could not drink anymore. You're not supposed to drink when you're pregnant. You're not supposed to. If you do, you're going to have a child that ends up like me. Not that my parents drank. I have no idea what they did. I was not around. I had not been delivered yet. My Amazon delivery had not occurred yet. So I don't know if my parents drank or not. I don't think they did. There was no indication. There were no bottles left over when I was born. So I don't know. But it could explain a lot of things. Anyway, If someone told me, Ron, you're pregnant, and that's the good news. It is? Okay, whatever. What's the bad news? You can't drink for this period of time until you deliver. Oh? And if you breastfeed, you shouldn't be drinking too much. What the hell are you trying to do to me then? What the hell are you trying to do to me? Is this a sentence? Did I do something wrong? Did I murder somebody and this is my punishment? I can't drink for 9 months plus? What are you, crazy? It's not that I want to drink, it's that I can't. I have been told you cannot do that. And otherwise, really the only people that don't drink are the people that have been told you can't do that anymore. You drank too much, you're it's not healthy for you, you have no liver. You can't drink anymore. You must not drink. You must go on the wagon, off the wagon, whatever it is. And I don't like being told not to do something. That's been a problem of mine. I was never a nasty, horrible tantrum child, but I don't like being told what to do. I don't. I used to go to my parents used to send me away to summer camp during the summer, so they, you know, that made sense. They got rid of me for 2 months every year for about a 5-year period. And I think the only reason they got rid of me was to get rid of me. I don't think they wanted me around for the whole summer. I think they wanted me to go do something, and they were sick of making me go do something. So they put me in a summer camp. It was a sleepover camp, which means you don't go home ever for 2 months. Your whole summer is consumed in a place. Well, what they did was they used to run summer camps. This is when I was a child back in 1827. They used to run summer camps like they were army bases for some reason. And I don't know why. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning, all summer, some freaking guy with a trumpet would play Reveille, I think it was called. That thing. That fucking thing. And I don't know who had it. I never saw a guy with the horn, but if I had, I would have committed murder probably. But every morning at 6 o'clock, everybody had to get up throughout the entire camp. I don't know why they did that. This was not a military camp. This is not a military thing. It was supposed to be a fun place to sleep over. That pissed me off more than anything. I'm not in the service. I'm at a freaking summer camp. Why are you doing that? If it's a summer camp and I'm supposed to be having fun, why are you waking me up at 6 o'clock in the morning? And then we would go down to what they called the canteen or the mess hall. Mess hall is a term, a military term for a dining room. It's a military dining room. They call it a mess hall. That's what they call it at the summer camp that I went to. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Did I just enlist? What are you doing? And by the way, why would you call a dining room a mess hall? Not appetizing at all. I love my parents dearly. They were wonderful people. They both have gone to that great cloud in the sky where most of my passwords are stored, I think, in the cloud. I don't know where heaven is. Everybody points to the sky for heaven and to the core of the earth for hell. Again, I don't know where this stuff comes from, but that's what most people do. So they're up in heaven, apparently, because I don't think they did anything wrong, except probably drank while I was pregnant. Well, they were pregnant. I wasn't pregnant. I must clarify, I was not pregnant. I was the baby. But anyway, so they're up. They're you know, so hi, how you doing? Okay. So they're good people. They're very good people. But why they sent me to summer camp, I don't know. Maybe they wanted to be alone. Maybe they figured we're going to put up with this. this child for the whole year, for 2 months. Can we just dump this child somewhere? I don't know what the reason was. It's not something you ask your parent. Why did you get rid of me for 2 months every year? Why did you do that? You don't ask your parents something like that. I had great respect for my parents. I never cursed around them ever, ever, ever. A filthy, dirty word never came out of my mouth in front of my parents. I actually didn't curse much at all when I was a child. I still don't. If I use a curse word, it's because I'm using it for great enunciation, not because it's part of my everyday language. It's used as an underlying thing. You don't underline every word in a letter. Maybe you'll underline one or put it in caps, in all caps, just once. But you don't do it all the time. You lose the effectiveness of the curse word. Anyway, never cursed around my parents. My parents never cursed around me. And I use the word curse. I use the word curse. So I don't know. But there are a lot of things that are mysteries because they're both gone. I can't ask them questions now. And I do have, the older I get, the more questions I have for them, but they're not around anymore. I don't know. All right. Well, that was kind of that ended up to be a little downer there, didn't it? All right. Look, we're running out of time for today. You once again have just been fantastic. You've been fantastic. I've just noticed I didn't do any guests today. We had no commercials, no funny little things. I just didn't shut up for like almost half an hour. And I suppose that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Wouldn't it be odd if you came to a podcast or to a radio show and they started off by saying, you know, I've realized that I talk too much. I'm going to say nothing for 30 minutes at all. And then there was dead silence. That would be weird. Weirder than that would be you listening to dead silence for 30 minutes. That would be weirder. So I'm not going that route because I can see where that would take me, and that would not work out, even in the Scandinavian countries. You know, it's very funny about people who don't talk a lot. You love them in theory, like, oh my God, I'm with somebody who doesn't talk a lot. They're really quiet people. I love that. Can you imagine how wonderful that would be? But then when you spend time with somebody who kind of just doesn't talk at all, after about 10 minutes, you're shouting at them saying, say something, God, why aren't you talk to me? What's on your mind? Say something, say you're freaking me out, say something. It's funny how the two extremes don't work. And that's life itself, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my God, here he goes. The extremes tend not to work. It's the middle stuff that works. And that's also politically. The extreme right, the extreme left politically just doesn't work. In the middle, that's the comfort area. I know. I'm getting hungry. Does listening to this show for half an hour make you hungry? No? No, makes me hungry. Yeah, I'm going to have a piece of toast. My grandmother, man, I loved her. She was wonderful. She didn't talk at all. She was one of those people that never really talked. But because I never really lived with her, that was fine. Every once in a while, what she would say when everybody got hungry, she would say, oh, I'm just going to have a piece of toast. And we all just stared at her like, what the hell's going on with you? Why do you not want to bother anybody with a lot of food? You're just going to have a piece. Yeah, that's all I want. I just want a piece of toast. Am I supposed to feel sorry for you? Or like, how? What kind of reaction are you going for here? You enjoy your food. I'm just going to have a piece of toast. What? Why? What's with that? A piece of toast. And then I realized that's why I loved her so much. She was a woman who only wanted a piece of toast. All right, that's it for today. Look, I'm going to be back the next time a weekday rolls around, which could be rather soon. You don't know. Like Monday. Have yourselves a wonderful day. You can make it a wonderful day. Get some stuff done. This is the opportunity. Keep your head clear. Come on back now, all right? I'm just going to go have a piece of toast. I wish you peace. I wish you a piece of toast.